Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study in Colossians chapter 1, verses 28 and 29, titled, Whom We Preach, Warning Every Man. This is part 2 of 2.
What God wants are little guys, little people like us. And what's He want you to do? He wants you to tell lost people that Jesus Christ died for their sins, shed His blood to pay the full price for sin, was buried and rose again, conquering sin and death. And if they will repent toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that gospel, they can be saved. That's it, folks. We try to put that out there over and over. That is the simplicity of the gospel. It's not complicated, and everyone in here is smart enough to do that. Everybody. You're smart enough. You can do that. Just talk to unsaved people and say, well, you know, you don't have to get preachy about it. So, you know, we're all sinners. Oh, yeah, I agree with that. Most people agree with that. If not, then, you know, you're wasting your time. They have to acknowledge they're a sinner. They have to see their sin. But, you know, Jesus died to pay for those sins. When He shed His blood, He paid the full payment for your sins. They put Him in the tomb, and when He rose from the dead, He conquered sin and death. He's the victor, and now He says, I am the resurrection and the life. If any man believe in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And if someone will repent of whatever it is they're holding on to and turn to God, believing that, they'll be saved. And we all have the privilege of doing that. Just an FYI, we talked about this, Jesus' final words in ascension, in our Mark 16, 14 to 16 study titled Jesus' Final Words and Ascension. And you can look that up, sermon audio, and YouTube and elsewhere. Turn over to Romans 10 real quick. Romans chapter 10, beginning of verse 13. This is a familiar verse. Verse 13 says, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But then continue reading. Verse 14 says, How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Well, just live it. Just live a good life. Lifestyle evangelism. That's not the answer. Verse 15, read that with me. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. I think there's a little humor in that because I think one of the ugliest things you ever see is a man's feet. Amen, Charlie? Mine are not pretty. But in God's eyes, if you use those feet to go preach the gospel, your feet are beautiful. I remember the first time Jenny walked up to me. I was sitting on my lazy boy and my, what do they call that? The what? The recliner, yeah. Had my feet up, socks off, wiggling my toes. And Jenny walked up to me and says, You have beautiful feet. I said, You're blind as a bat. And she says, No, the Bible says, Beautiful are the feet of them that preach glad tidings of good things. The good news. I said, You got me there. It pays to know your Bible. Isn't that beautiful to think about? You want beautiful feet? I don't care. You can get your pedicures, what do they call it? Feet? Pedicure? And they call it a manicure if you get the hands done, but I don't care any man getting that. That's not manly. I don't think. Paint those nails. Scrape off all the. Yeah. What do they call that when you take the dead skin off? Exfoliate. Let me tell you something. If you're not preaching the gospel, your feet are still ugly. Amen. Amen. So-called soul winning that is about the sinner, not the Savior, is not biblical. I want you to look at that. Look at that. So-called soul winning that is about the sinner and not about the Savior is not biblical. The first thing you approach somebody with is the Savior. You approach people with the gospel. Jesus is the focus. And I think some of the best quote-unquote soul winners are going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and find out they were a failure. Because they followed some man-made program rather than approaching a sinner about the Savior. Once they hear about the Savior, once they hear the gospel, once they're clear on that, then you deal with them as a sinner with the offer of salvation. But not until then. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 1:23, but we preach Christ crucified. Under the Jews a stumbling block and under the Greeks foolishness. And see, that's why soul winning has become corrupt, is because they've decided that doesn't work. Paul says why it doesn't work right there. To the Jews, it's a stumbling block. You witness to a Jew and you tell them about Jesus, immediately they start, you know, with their, I've done it, and I tell you, almost all of them come with the same response. And a lot of it has to do with the destructive influence of the Roman Catholic Church and all the Jews they've killed over the centuries. So it's hard to get them to listen about Jesus when they think you're talking about the Catholic Church. And if you can get them beyond the Catholic Church and talk about Jesus, they still have a problem, because for 2,000 years, most all of their blood relatives have rejected Jesus and gone to hell. It's a stumbling block. To the Greeks, foolishness. You don't believe me? Let's go door knocking. Amen. Greeks, that's Gentiles. It's just one of you non-Jews. Let's go out and knock on the door, and the first thing you'll hear is all this fairy tale nonsense about evolution, the Big Bang. Oh, I don't believe there's a God. If there is one, it's just a force. It's, you know, and all that. That's Greeks. Philosophy and all that stuff. That's what you... So it doesn't work when you want to talk about Jesus. Therefore, what do? Well, man thinks we'll just change it and make it more palatable. We'll make it... We'll dress it up. We won't even... Let's not even talk about Jesus. Let's save that for the last. Let's just talk about where you want to go to heaven. And then get them to this, close the sale. Get them to pray with you. That's the stuff they're teaching. And a lot of people will go ahead and just go through that with you so you'll get out of their face. All right, I'll say his prayer. Dear Lord, I ask you to save me. I ask you to save me. Amen, amen. And then they're off. And the preacher goes back, or the soul winner goes back to church and brags, yes, I led a Jew to the Lord. I led the Greek chef down to the restaurant to the Lord. All this stuff. All they did was say a little prayer to get you off their back. It's about Jesus. And I'm here to tell you, you can fight it and become depressed. We've all talked about this before. We've had our issues because not very many people are listening today. And just as I said, when you go to the door, you start preaching the Bible. Back in, when I first got saved, you could go to most doors in the place I lived and you say, do you believe this is the Word of God? And they say, yes. Yep. Right. Today, you go to most doors and you say, do you believe this is the Word of God? And they'll tell you, no. Exactly. Well, the Bible says it only effectually works in those who believe that it's the Word of God. Amen. So you got three strikes against you from the beginning. Yep. So what do? You try to then talk to them a little bit about the Bible and offer information and try to help them understand, and then you pray for them. Yep. Amen. That's all you can do. But the National Education Association and the public school system and the most colleges and even seminaries are being used of Satan to destroy any faith people have in this book. Yep. Right. So that when you go to their door and talk to them, they don't care what you say. They don't believe anything from the Bible. If you believe the Bible, then it's just a matter of, well, here's what the Bible says. Now you're confronted. Now will you receive it? Will you believe it? But if you don't believe the Bible at all, that's where we're at. And that's why it says, whom we preach, warning every man. Now, I know that sounds like harsh, like you're, I'm warning you. You know, it's not quite that. It doesn't have to be quite like that. But you don't warn by just living your life.
Amen.
There's a time where you just lovingly say, you know, I just got to tell you, the Bible says what you're doing is a sin. And the Bible says that you rejecting the gospel, it means you will not go to heaven, and that means you'll go to hell. Now, see how I said that? It wasn't real nasty. I wasn't screaming and yelling at them. But that's how you have to say it. Just you have to be clear. Now, you warn the way you warn. But just be sure to warn. Some of you, I mean women especially, I don't tell everybody you have to talk like Greg Miller. You know, you got your own personality. You got your own way of dealing with people. And sometimes it's according to who you're talking to. And, you know, you have a belligerent teenager, you might walk up to him and say, listen, I'm telling you, that whole gang you're with, a bunch of godless young people, are going to get you in trouble. And you need to check yourself whether you're really saved or you need to be saved, whichever the case may be. Now, if you go talk to a six-year-old, you're not going to look at him and say, listen, those little 7 and 8 year olds you're running with are bad news. See, there's a difference how you deal with people. And it may be a teenager, he's a good kid, but they still need to be saved. And you just have to deal with them and warn them. Listen, being a good kid doesn't mean you'll go to heaven. You can be as good as you think you can be, you still need to be saved.
Amen.
And teaching every man in all wisdom. That's right. That's where it comes in. That's the hard work. That's what people don't want to do. Soul winners just want to go out and say, repent and believe the gospel. Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Oh, save us. Save us. You know, and it don't happen that way. So what do you have to do? Charlie's told some stories here recently about what he's been doing on the job, talking to some of those. You're teaching. Some of you have told your stories where you work, talking to people. Some of you are online and chatting with people or whatever. Some of you are hanging out with family. Some of you, not naming all the names, I can look around here and tell you the stories I've heard from you. You're doing right. You're doing exactly right. You should be teaching. You say, you mean talking about saved people? No, that's teaching. You're even teaching the lost. Some of them, you need to teach them why this book is the Word of God. Why Jesus' death on the cross matters. Why His resurrection means so much. And give your own testimony. What Jesus has done for you, saving you. This is basically the Great Commission that Jesus gave right before He ascended to heaven over in Matthew 28. So let's turn there real quick. Matthew 28. Matthew 28, beginning in verse 18, it says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Now, who's he talking to? Verse 16, then the 11 disciples, Judas being the one missing, went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus has appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them. So that's who he's talking to. These 11 are the founders of the Church of Jesus Christ. He is giving them instructions. He's saying, I'm about to leave you. I'm not going to be with you anymore. It matches up with what he said, actually, even some things he said before he went to the cross. We were talking about when Stephen was teaching. Luke, what's the reference where he tells him, you need to have a sword. Why? Because he's getting ready to leave. And that's a dispensational truth for this dispensation. He was talking about those who were going to be left behind and go into this dispensation. You better have a sword.
Amen.
And he's saying here, go ye, therefore. Why? Because he's not going to be here to do it. He's getting ready to go back to heaven, ascend to heaven. And his instructions for the church, founded by the apostles, the 11, and Paul, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. He says, teach them whatsoever I have commanded you. There are other things that Jesus taught that is given to us in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that is for this dispensation. There are some things that were not. That's why you have to rightly divide. And we talked about how he gave instructions in Matthew 18, I believe beginning of verse 15. And he was giving instructions for the church dealing with people. Church discipline is what we call it. Doug mentioned our last study. If you understand the dispensations, then you understand that there is a difference in the message for those living in those dispensations. The message for today, for this dispensation, is the gospel of grace. And that's what you're supposed to preach and teach all nations. And it's as a result of that that we see people getting saved. The end goal is that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Only the gospel and God's word can accomplish this. That's why our preaching and our teaching to the world, don't go out there arguing about politics. Don't argue with them about abortion. Don't argue with them about gay marriage. Don't argue with them about gun control. You're talking about a bunch of unsaved people. If you get them saved, you'll find it's like on a dime, they'll change. It's an amazing thing that the children of darkness, children of wrath, when they get saved, suddenly become deplorables who support, are pro-life. They love unborn children and no longer want to see them butchered in the womb. How is it that someone who claims to be a Christian says that they're pro-choice? They're either really, really stupid or they're lost. How about these Christians waving the gay flag and saying they support gay marriage? You're looking at somebody who's unregenerate. They've never been born again. You look at somebody who's out there pushing this like socialist agenda that's out there today. And then you talk to them about how they... Are you saved? How do you believe you're saved? When were you saved? You'll get wrong answers. And then suddenly, they get saved, and you don't have to argue with them about abortion, or socialism, or gay marriage. Isn't that amazing? That's just been my experience. And we close with this thought. If you not there, Colossians 1:29. Turn back over there if you did like me and left the book. Colossians 1:29. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Now those are the words of Paul. I labor, I strive according to his working. I'll leave it up to others to say whether it's working in me mightily. The Apostle Paul was saying something that God inspired him to say about himself right here. The book of Proverbs basically says, let other people brag on you. Don't toot your own horn. And I'm not going to stand up here and even, trust me, it's not just false humility. I don't consider myself some spiritual giant. But I'm laboring, striving not to be saved. The work's already been done. Jesus has saved me. But I am laboring and striving according to his working to get the gospel out and to preach and teach the truth to you folks here today. Now, listen. I just want to tell you this. Most people today are like infants. And if they have to sit still for 20 minutes, she's supposed to act like that. You know that? She's supposed to act like that. But there are people who are professing Christians who will only go to a church where they get like a fast food message wrapped up and tossed to them in about 15, 20 minutes. They don't come and open their Bible and study. They don't think, wow, I can't wait to get into Bible study this week to check this out. I'm really glad there's a church where they actually teach the Bible and study the Bible. And they'll go to the churches where, and if we, and folks, if what we were about here at BBF was big crowds, then we're doing it wrong. And we're never going to get big crowds doing what we're doing. So what do you think? Should we, you know, change things and make things, you know, put a little more cushion on the pews for starters?
And
yeah, we can use the new versions. We'll use the King James, but we'll use the others too. Yeah, that's what they do. And it's, you know what? Let's stop being so stuffy about the music. You know, once in a while, it's good to sing a song with the seven words 11 times. A 7-11. And be more inclusive. And, you know, I'll go join the local ministerial association and we'll start switching pulpits with the liberal churches. And, you know, Reverend Gail so-and-so can come in here and preach to you. Yeah. And shorten things. My goodness. 12:40 p.m. and we're still at it? What is wrong with you people? I was reading about what's going on overseas and some of those people over there get mad, get angry at the preacher if he preaches less than 2 hours. And I'm like, man, it's tempting to move. But you all don't get angry at me for going, you know, 45 minutes, so I'm not going to move yet. Well, that's true too. Yeah, they don't have air-conditioned cars to travel to get there, everything. But you see what I'm saying? Is the hunger. It used to be here. People right in this area used to go to camp meetings and things, and they'd spend entire weeks listening to 3 or 4 sermons a day. Boy, that ain't going to happen now. Unless you offer a chance to win a brand new car. Then you get a crowd. Let's go to 106 in the hymn book. Preach, teach the Word of God. There's nothing wrong with using humor. There's nothing wrong with using your personality God gave you. Nothing wrong with a joke once in a while. But by and large, it's just Bible study. And, it's, you know, you go through books of the Bible the way God wrote them, and then you have topicals that add to that. Then you have special speakers that bring something else to the table once in a while. And you read your Bible 7 days a week.
Amen.
You pray and witness through the week. Pray without ceasing, as it says.
Amen.
You come back every chance you get. Can't, you know, there's times you can't make it, but every chance you get, come back here for the Bible studies we have. Set your alarms an hour earlier, starting September 9th. Get in here for the Bible, open Bible discussion we have. And you'll learn. And I'll just tell you, this is what happens. Once you start to learn, you just start to really enjoy it. And you start wanting to learn.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
But there's so many people who have never been taught and don't even know what that experience is like. Doug, what you going to say?
If you get out there and you serve witnessing, tell them more people about the Lord. By Wednesday night, there's a spiritual tank is empty. You got to come back.
Yeah. It's good to come in, and I've said before too, not have to walk on pins and needles.
Yeah.
You know, you go into even some churches, if you go in there and you talk openly about things that should be settled, morality and settled doctrine, you end up with, thank God for a place where you don't have to do that.
Yeah.
All right, stand with me if you would. Let's sing, Tell Me the Story of Jesus. kind of sums up our Bible study.
In the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God.
Simple one. Question is, does it describe you or not? It said, we preach, warning every man. So I want to leave you with that question. Just look at yourself. It's not for me to look at you. Good thing about having a pastor who is human and fallible, myself, is number one, I'm not around you. I don't know. So it's just between you and the Lord. But number two, I'd be a hypocrite if I criticize you, because all of us fail.
Amen.
But the question is between you and the Lord. Am I preaching? Am I warning every man? And teaching? Of course, it starts at home with the kids and those in your circle of influence. Yeah. Ask yourself that question as you go through the week. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time in your Word. And we're so thankful for the convicting power of the Word of God, the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, a room full of fallible believers with an infallible book, helping us to see our shortcomings and not to be discouraged, not to be beaten down, but to be encouraged to raise our game and to desire to work, to strive, to let you work in and through us. And may that happen in every life as we go out the door today.